Blog Talk Radio.
Start the clock. Good afternoon. At the tone, time will be real.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Let's Change the World. We're back. The Let's Change the World weekly talk radio show is a product of the Let's Change the World movement. The movement is all about everybody doing whatever little bit we can, no matter how small it is, to positively impact somebody else's life other than our own, or to positively impact our community as a whole. And if we all do whatever little bit we can, then guess what? Together, we can change the world. We can move things, make things happen. And we can make a difference one random act of kindness at a time. And that's what the Let's Change the World movement is all about. You can learn more about it by visiting the Change the World blog at www.thechangetheworldmovement.com. That's www.thechangetheworldmovement.com. And I want to say a shout out to my co-host, Cheryl Aliso, who is not with me today. She's fine. She's doing well. She's doing big things. The Akron Today Show, the fashion, and all the other wonderful things she's doing. We wish her the best, and she'll be right back with us next show. But today, I wanted to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart. Usually we have the books and music that change the world segment, the ridiculous news segment. We're going to skip all that. Get right into what I want to talk about today. And I want everybody to excuse me if I get a little bit emotional because this is something that's near and dear to my heart. By the way, the call-in line is 347-934-0789. That's 347-934-0789. You can call in from anywhere in the world at that number. The phone lines are going to be off for just a little while I say my piece. Then I'm going to open up the phone lines in case anybody's got any questions, comments, concerns, anything that they want to say or talk about. This is your opportunity to have your voice heard. It doesn't matter who you are. We know the rich and famous get to be heard, but regular, ordinary, everyday people, this is where you get to be heard. I'm a regular, ordinary, everyday person, so I'm going to be heard right now. And what I want to talk to everybody about is something that's been on everybody's mind lately. Racism, murder, terrorism, drugs, and so on. These things have been on everybody's mind. And all reasonable people want it all to end. But it'll continue. Why? Because the devil has tricked us all into ignoring the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that God gave us a very basic set of morals, values, and ethics to live our lives by. He intended them to be the very foundation that we build our families, communities, businesses, government, and society on. But our moral foundation has become way too weak, and everything we build upon it is crumbling right now. We must first repair our moral foundation so that what we build upon it can be strong. So that our families can be strong, so that our communities, businesses, government, society can be strong, until we as individual communities, and as a society commit to obeying God's commandments, the devil will continue to create havoc in our personal lives, communities, government, and society. That's just a matter of fact. At the core of every single man-made problem we have on this planet is poor morality, misplaced values, and or ethical behavior, bad ethical behavior. If everyone simply did the right thing and treated each other right, what man-made problems would we have? The answer is none, because everyone would be doing right. There would be no hunger, homelessness, senseless murder, racism, mass incarceration. I could go on and on. none of that would be the case. Now, we would have tornadoes, earthquakes, hurricanes, other natural disasters. But if everyone was treating each other right and doing exactly what they should be doing, doing the right thing, truthfully and honestly, what man-made problems will we have? Now, I understand that a perfect world where everyone does the right thing is completely unrealistic, but my organization, Unlimited Education, has proven that by educating and re-educating children, teens, and at least a few parents with the proper morals, values, and ethics education, major improvements in individuals and their families, schools, and in entire communities is possible. If we can improve individual communities, we can also improve cities, and then states, and then our nation. As leader of the free world, we can then help to improve the rest of the world. We can't ever make things perfect, but surely we can make things a lot better than they currently are. Way better. But it all begins with individual children, teens, and adults being educated on how to improve their own morality, how to reassess what is valuable in their own lives, and improving their own ethical behaviors. It begins by educating a new generation of small children on who to be, how to be, what to stand for and what not to fall for, where to be, where not to be, and when. Common sense education, for God's sake. Common sense used to be common, but it's not common anymore. I'm sure all of you agree with me on that. And good character can be taught, just like racism can be taught. A child isn't born racist. He is educated to be racist. That type of education must change. And until we change the education our children of all races receive, we will never change our society. The laws will never get changed because the children will not grow up with the mindset of changing the laws. The self-genocide that young black men are committing will not stop until kids are educated on the value of life. Currently, they value their own street cred more than they value your life. God said, don't kill. And we have an obligation to rear our kids in a way that ensures that killing for any other reason than the defense of life is unthinkable. And that's the way it is for most of us moral people. To kill somebody over something stupid like who should be standing on this corner, or a drug deal gone bad, or the colors that we wear, or any of that nonsense is unthinkable. And that's the way it should be with our children. And it's up to us to educate our children on the idea that killing is an unthinkable prospect. And, you know, our youth have not been educated on the causes, effects, and consequences of their actions and inactions. So they continue to sell their brothers and sisters mind-numbing drugs without realizing the extent of the dysfunction and misery they create. The answer is morals, values, and ethics education. The next generation of children need to have a much stronger moral foundation so that they value life over street cred, and so that they understand their own value, and so that they clearly understand right from wrong. It is not right to win by any means necessary, including murder. They must be reared with the proper work ethic so that they don't fall into the devil's trap of trying to make that easy money. And with the proper morals, values, and ethics will also come the elimination of the types of dysfunction that creates daily irritation, anger, bitterness, depression, and that incurs drug and alcohol abuse and domestic violence, and that contributes to unproductivity and so many other things. Many black people blame white people. After all, they're the ones who put these guns and drugs in our communities, right? Black people, I'm here to say, unfortunately, are probably responsible for 80% of our own misery. Now, hear me out. On average, over 4,000 young black men are killed by other young black men each year, and over 6,000 in some years. That's a couple thousand more murders in just one year than all black people lynched by white people from 1882 to 1968. They are committing their own self-genocide. Black people make up 13% of the U.S. population but have committed half the homicides over the last 30 years. And 97% of all of these homicides have been of other black people. At the rate that police kill black people each year, it would take 40 years for them to kill as many black people as black people kill each other in just 1 year. Now, the over 4,000 young black men murdered are killed by a minimum of 4,000 other black men. So that's a minimum of 8,000 young black men either dead or incarcerated each year. Now, let's add in the countless mothers, fathers, siblings, spouses, girlfriends, and other close friends and relatives who are stricken by grief, depression, anger, bitterness, many of whom turn to drugs, alcohol, and even revenge or suicide. The result is often unproductivity, loss of wages, loss of jobs, overeating, and declining health, which can lead to more financial devastation and more grief. The result is often dysfunction in families and households, DUIs, drug addiction, more death, and more murder. Families are financially devastated by funeral bills, attorney and court fees, trying to prosecute murderers and trying to keep family members out of prison and off death row. The result in these violent communities is also the elderly being afraid to walk to the corner store. Imagine being 80 years old and needing some food and you're scared to walk to the corner store. Those with money, I'm talking white people and affluent black folks, move their families and businesses out of these communities and leave the poor people, who are most often the blacks and Latinos, with few available jobs. Property values take a nosedive, so property owners lose equity and can't refinance, sell their homes, or get home improvement loans to fix the raggedy back porch or the leaky roof. So the community becomes run down as many become more and more scarce. People become scarce, money becomes scarce, and crime, drug sales, and gang violence begin to rise even more. The result is more rape, more robbery, more assault, more addiction, more unproductivity. Property values sink even more, and even more businesses move out, meaning even less jobs and even more poverty, perpetuating more crime. It's a vicious circle. The more crime and violence and drugs, the more people move out. The more the affluent people move out, the more crime, violence, and drugs you have. And the seemingly most obvious solution for these communities is more police, who are so afraid they become trigger happy as they lock up more young black men as the war on drugs continues and the nearly 1 million black people incarcerated as a result of their own black on black crime and violence destroys even more lives. Excuse me. Teen pregnancy rises and more black children are reared without fathers, which perpetuates more dysfunction within our communities. We then blame all this on the white man. After all, he put these guns in our communities, right? He put these drugs in our communities, which we choose to kill each other with. He put these drugs in our communities, which we choose to sell to our brothers and sisters. And it's white people who refuse to locate their businesses in our violent, drug-infested, run-down, and sometimes burnt down communities and offer us well-paying jobs. It's their fault. And the most vital thing we can do is to make sure that we understand how much to blame they are for the misery we cause ourselves. Yeah, I'm being sarcastic. You know, before half of the black people get angry with me, you know, I'm not saying that white people don't have their share of the blame in all of this. The repercussions of slavery, social engineering, oppression, institutional racism, stereotyping, segregation, discrimination, and mass incarceration has taken its toll on the social and economic conditions and mindsets of blacks and other minorities, without a doubt. But who is to blame is not the point. The point is, where do we go from here? How do we proceed now, from today forward? You know, and our black voices are heard all the time. The heartache is always heard. We always express ourselves. Every time a young black kid kills another, we black folks say, these kids are out of control. This needs to stop. Somebody needs to do something. We need more role models and mentors. They need somewhere to go after school. They need to be some programs. These kids have no morals. They don't know the value of life. We go on and on expressing ourselves, and it's heartfelt. There's not anybody out there, black or white probably, that doesn't know someone who's been affected by black-on-black murder, crime, violence, drugs, so on and so forth. But whoever does anything, well, for 10 years now, I have been trying to do something. You know, why do our kids keep killing each other? I'm going to give you five reasons. Reason number one is because many of our youth don't know right from wrong, plain and simple. Unlimited education's definition of morality is right from wrong. A lot of our kids, plain and simply, are reared without the knowledge of right from wrong. They think it's right to win by any means necessary, even if it's murder. Number two, they don't know the value of life. They think your life means less than their street cred, their reputation. They'd rather kill you instead of their reputation being that of them being soft. Number three, they have little or no work ethic, i.e. wanting to make money the easy way by drug sales and crime, stealing, robbing, so on and so forth. No work ethic. Number four, adults don't understand the value of taking responsibility and action. That's right. A lot of it falls on the adults. We don't understand the value, the importance, the priority of taking responsibility and action. Also, number five, adults don't understand it is their moral obligation to offer guidance to our youth. So I've been trying to do something for the last 10 years since 2007, and I am founder and president of the Let's Change the World Movement Incorporated. We're operating as a 501c nonprofit. And the movement, as I said at the beginning of the show, it's all about everybody doing whatever little bit we can to make a difference. You know, if we all do whatever little we can, no matter how small, then together we can make a difference, one random act of kindness at a time. And the movement, it's not just an idea, it's a business. It's a nonprofit business. We're incorporated. The movement, as we call it, like I said, it's all about everybody doing whatever you can. And we have four areas of operation. The first is unlimited education, which I'm going to talk to you more about in a moment. The second is just a general fund to help the needy. Not just anybody who asks for it, but if you have children and you're homeless or they need to be fed, you have no gas or electric, or you have some type of serious need, if you have elderly people who are in bad shape, give us a call, put in an application, and if we have funds available to help you, we will help. If we don't have funds, I'm sorry, we'll have to refer you to someone else, and hopefully they have funds. But if these programs aren't funded, then it's difficult for you to get help. The third is political activism. We're focusing on encouraging people to become politically active, and as well as focusing on issues that currently do or that are likely to impact the masses in an extremely positive or negative manner, like mass incarceration. We really think that mass incarceration needs to end, and we're doing whatever we can to help end it. And part of that, of course, is convincing people to get politically active and doing what it takes, because this is a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. Until the people come together and take action, you know, nothing will happen. And the fourth is encouragement to community service. because we want everybody to do whatever little they can to make a difference, part of our movement is to encourage others to get involved in something that they're passionate about. And we do that through the Change the World blog, which is www.thechangetheworldmovement.com. And also the Let's Change the World talk radio show, where you're listening to me now, social media, an upcoming newsletter that we're trying to publish, and other avenues as well. So those are our four areas of operation. And the area that I want to get into, first of all, is called Unlimited Education. And Unlimited Education is based on the premise that morals, values, and ethics education are both the problems and the solutions to most every social and economic challenge we face on Earth. Philosophically, the theory is that if everyone simply did the right thing, we would have little or no man-made problems. And like I said, while we recognize that the theory can never be proven and that it is unrealistic of an expectation, it is logical to assume that substantial improvement in the moral character of individual communities is possible, thereby systematically improving the moral character of our over time. Of course, such a movement would be historic, but who says that we can't make history, right? We conduct free workshops on a variety of subjects to include teen pregnancy, drugs and alcohol, respect for parenting, workshops where teens get to run a household for a month, just two-hour workshops. We also conduct field trips, and we conduct them to police stations, fire stations, jails, prisons, hospitals, banks, and other businesses, as well as sporting events, concerts, festivals, and places where kids can be inspired, because our children need to be inspired by something other than what they see on the streets. Just to give you a couple example of our examples of our workshops, stated one, kids ages 13 through 17, they get an opportunity to balance a budget and run a household for 30 straight days, but they do it in a two-hour workshop. And basically what we do is they pull random circumstances out of a hat. And these random circumstances are based on levels of education that they achieve. So one may achieve a high school diploma, another a bachelor's degree, another a master's degree, another a doctorate. One may choose a circumstance where they dropped out of high school. And then we throw wrenches in the game. One may have a master's degree, but they also have a disabled child, physically or mentally disabled. One may have a doctorate degree, but they ended up marrying a deadbeat husband, and they had too many kids, three or four kids. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but you get the picture. And then we use actual statistics from the area where these kids reside, on what the cost of things that they need and want would be. So in their community, what would their rent be? What would a car payment be for the type of car that they want? We get very detailed, a Cadillac, a Mercedes, a BMW. You know, you get the picture. They get to run a household for a two to three-hour workshop. And they get to do that based on the prices of things in the community where they reside and based on random circumstances, which are real life-type circumstances that they might find themselves in, especially if they, you know, don't get the proper education or if they don't have the proper morals or values or ethics, you know, or if they exercise bad behaviors. Some of them pull a situation where they're a felon. And at the end of this exercise, oh, my God, you should see these kids. They get it. The result is that these kids become better children. They respect their parents more. They understand that when their parents don't buy them something, it's not because they don't want them to have it. It's because they simply can't make ends meet. They can't afford to buy it for them. So they have a healthier respect for the plight of their parents. A lot of the parents come back to me and they tell me, you know what? My son is saving money now. They do better in school. Their grades tend to go up. Why? Because they understand the value of education. They get the correlation between certain levels of education and the amount of income that they can make, which directly correlates to the things that they want and need in life and their ability to purchase them. So it's a very good workshop. There are other workshops on violence and so on and so forth. And unlimited education is mostly conceptual. We use a variety of concepts, and that's why our workshops are so successful. I mean, I had one parent come to me and say, you know what, you've done more with my child in 2 hours than I've been able to do with him in 14 years. Why is that? It's because our program is based on research, and we've come up with some interesting concepts. One of them is cause, effect, and consequence education, because kids have to understand the causes, effects, and consequences of their actions and inactions. Empathy education, putting kids in somebody else's shoes. Our audio and visual concept, the concept being that if a picture is worth 1,000 words, then a moving picture with audio has to be worth 10,000 words. Role model and mentor concept, that's nothing new, but we incorporate that into our workshops. Every workshop, a role model or mentor who looks just like the kids who participate in that workshop, they participate in the workshop. Our field trip concept, kids have to go places. They have to get outside of their boxes, those little communities where all they see is the same thing all day and every day. Our music education concept, do you know that we took a teenager who was terrible in history, sent him home with a history lesson, put to a rap song with a nice beat. He went home, he liked the beat and the rap so much, he memorized the rap, came to school, and aced the test the next day, first history test he ever aced. It's the same concept as nursery rhymes. We all learned our ABCs with a nursery rhyme, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. They work. After a kid gets a certain age, we start thinking that nursery rhymes don't make any sense anymore. It's childish. The kid's too old. But it still works if you update the type of music. We sent this kid home with a rap song, and there was a history lesson on that rap song, and he aced the test the very next morning. Okay. Comedy education does the same thing. It simply makes education more fun. Other concepts include our business concept, our prison concept, our entrepreneur concept, extracurricular activities concept, our home visitation concept, understanding and participating in the political process concept. I could go on and on. We have a list of patented processes and procedures to deliver information more efficiently and effectively than old-fashioned textbook and lecture education, which will never go out of style, by the way, but we're simply talking about adding some additional information delivery methods to make education more fun, more exciting, that address all of the different learning styles that different people have. Everybody doesn't learn the same, but if you have all of these concepts in one workshop, then the information is going to be delivered one way or the other to most every child. And unlimited education concepts are supported by years of research and statistical data that I won't bore you with right now, but our long-term goal is to see the implementation of morals, values, and ethics education curriculum into public schools across the nation. Our short-term goal is to conduct workshops in cities across Florida and the nation, yes, in your community too, inspiring those communities to implement regularly scheduled workshop programs of their own, under their own name, but supported by unlimited education and the movement. some support being initial and maybe some ongoing training, workshop curriculum, advice, and some promotion and or financial assistance if necessary. So we want to support you in your community and your workshop program. But the goal is for these programs to be locally owned and operated, self-sufficient and successful. Unlimited Education has no desire to be the face of these programs. In fact, it is our view that it is best if it is not, both practically and politically. So we want you and your community to own these workshop programs, and we will simply support you because you need the support. And our plan is to conduct successful unlimited education workshops that are witnessed by as many parents and other movers and shakers as possible. Also to inspire those parents, movers, and shakers to begin their own workshop programs with our support and to continue them after we're gone. So once we come into your community, we'll help conduct one or two workshops, but then the goal is for your community to be self-sufficient and run your own workshop programs under your own name and your own authority with our support. We also want to film and document unlimited education workshops as evidence and for promotional purposes, promotion to potential donors, other communities, and school districts. We also want to document the improvement, and we've been doing this already, documenting the improvement of workshop students' statistical areas such as school test scores and behavior as evidence of our success. We want to present this documentation of our success to school districts and charter schools as part of our presentations in the future. And we also want to compile enough success stories to make it impractical to deny the value of morals, values, and ethics education in our schools. And we work with all age groups. Now, we begin with the older kids, 13 to 17 years old. As trust in the program grows, then we can add workshops for the younger kids. How do we attract children and teens and keep their attention? Well, first, we conduct workshops at places who have access to children, like community centers, churches and schools, and apartment complexes. We attempt to get parental buy-in through adult workshops. Email marketing, direct mail marketing, inviting parents to attend and participate in workshops and assist with field trips. Parents are a vital part of our program. The more parents we can get involved, the better, because in the end, it is the parents who have to deal with their children on a daily basis, all day, every day. And in the end, it is the parents and adults who these kids look up to as role models and mentors. We utilize the Change the World blog, Let's Change the World Talk Radio, and intend to utilize our upcoming newsletters to acknowledge the businesses and people who donate money, trophies and awards, really good prizes and food for children who attend and, you know, things of that nature. So people and businesses who donate gifts to us, rather be food, equipment, computers, furniture, prizes for the kids, because what makes these kids, these workshops fun is the prizes, you know, that we give away. We give away bicycles, Xboxes, cell phones, tennis shoes, really good prizes that these kids love. And then, of course, we use the progressive information delivery methods, which make our workshops more fun and interesting. Real people who have real stories attend every workshop, the role models and mentors. And we conduct field trips to places that they want to visit. Also, when a child or teen knows that they will eat and drink food and have a lot of fun and possibly win a cool prize, and their parents are encouraging them, and they might get mentioned or get an article written about them on our blog or mentioned on our radio show, and the kids know that, it makes the workshops a cool place to be. Okay, they get to eat, the workshops are fun, they're interesting, they're enjoyable, they win cool prizes, they get recognized on the newsletters and on the Change the World blog and also on radio. and we get community involvement so that businesses and parents are involved. So this is different, and this is what we do. And our plan is to conduct successful workshops, videotape them, and use portions of those videos for online commercials and email commercials. Newsletters will circulate to highlight successful children and businesses who donate. Our radio show and blog will do the same. The newsletter and email campaigns will advertise the radio show and blog locally. We want to spread evidence of our success and ask for donations from parents, businesses, and others. We believe we are well positioned to promote success stories, which we believe is the key. We also plan to aggressively go after grants, which we're working on now. Now, while Unlimited Education began and will always be dedicated to the children who we believe are the foundation for our future, we project that our project has evolved to incorporate adults, addicts, felons, and even businesses. The reasons is that moral values and ethics actually impacts every aspect of our society. And, of course, we adults must be the positive role models, mentors, and heroes our children look up to, admire, and emulate. So this has been a brief overview of Unlimited Education. I'm going to give you a break and play a record, and then I'm going to come back and ask for your support. The phone lines are open from this point forward. Go ahead and call in if you have any questions, concerns, comments, you want to add to anything I said. The guest call in is 347-934-0789. That's 347-934-0789. I hope you remember this one. Listen to it for a few minutes and think, and I'll be right back with you.
We make a better day. the room.